Welcome to another episode of The Shift with Elena Agard. In this conversation, I chat with TJ Murphy, CEO of Height Digital in Bend, Oregon. Really just a genuinely nice person. Great conversation, great energy he has. I love that he's able to kind of find that, I don't want to say balance, but just like that nice combination between his personal values and passions and how he sees living his life and how he is living his life and so on. And then also applying that in business and helping his customers do the same by helping them kind of be great at marketing and digital presence for their businesses and being able to grow and so on. And we know that is super difficult in the day of, you know, attention, meaning that you're trying to, you know, for your business, you need to get the attention of the right audience. So I think he does that really well with his audience. I love it that he is such a fan of just being in nature. Where he lives in Bend, Oregon, it's a beautiful, beautiful access to just the most amazing nature around him. So whether he is doing biking in the on hiking in the summertime or snowboarding, skiing, and other snow activities in the wintertime, he really makes time to go out there. He really makes time to live the life that he wants without sacrificing his health, without sacrificing personal relationships. And I really appreciate that about him. So he, you know, he's a different kind of entrepreneur, and who really just is a good example for myself. At least I was very inspired by him, just to be able to live life on your own terms and values and passions, and not being so boggled down into the business side of things, which is easy to do. I've been there. I'm sure he's been there at some point in his life as well. But overall, inspiring conversation. So if you're curious about being an entrepreneur or just having a fulfilling life and a thriving business at the same time, this conversation is for you. Let me know what you think.
TJ, welcome to the Shift Podcast.
Thanks, Elena. It's great to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Right before we start recording, you said, you know, we have a lot in common, and I think we're going to have a really nice conversation about all these different things that you're doing and entrepreneurship and the marketing aspect and the well-being piece. But I'm curious for you to just kind of tell my audience a little bit about your journey from being a marketer to becoming the CEO of Height Digital. What is Height Digital? What inspired you to start the company?
Yeah, let's start. You know, right after college, I had this dream of starting a business, but up to that point, really hadn't had much real world experience. I had a great time in college, but you know, wasn't the most dedicated in terms of getting into internships or doing anything like that. So I knew I needed to go get some real world education, you know, boots on the ground, school of hard knocks. So moved down to the Bay Area, followed my girlfriend, now wife, high school sweetheart. She was a term ahead of me, got her first job working for a startup down in the Bay. So followed her down there, ended up getting a really great opportunity working as a marketing manager for a large commercial property management company. And I was their first, you know, line of offense for all of our tenants at a big outdoor shopping center. So these were mostly mom and pop businesses, small local businesses that, let's be real, they didn't have much education or knowledge around how to market themselves effectively. So they'd come into my office, knocking on the door saying, "Hey, how do we use social media? How do we run ads? What is SEO?" And you know, I had a little bit of experience with this type of stuff, but I had to learn quickly what works well to drive traffic, to drive engagement, and help small businesses stand out. So that was my crash course in what I do today. But we'll get into a little more of Height here in a moment. But really, at that point, after about a year living in the big city, you know, on this corporate trajectory I was on, I was just getting burned out. I didn't love big city life. I thrive outdoors. I live here in beautiful Bend, Oregon, where, yeah, later this afternoon, I'm probably going to go skiing. We've got a hill 30 minutes away. In the summer, we like to paddleboard, go mountain biking, rock climbing, all the things. So didn't have that kind of freedom living in Oakland. And my wife and I did some soul searching. We put a big vision board up in front of our bed with all the dreams that we had for the next 5 years. And the biggest one was to go travel the world and go experience what life was like outside of the US. I'd really hadn't been outside the US much up until that point. So fast forward about 6 months, we quit our jobs. We put in our 2 week notice, sold off the vast majority of our stuff, put the rest in my parents' garage, and bought one-way tickets to Bali, Indonesia, which started a 14-month adventure backpacking through Asia. And during that time, I knew I wanted to start something. I wanted to use that runway to build a business and do it in a way where I felt like I had a lot less potential downside. You know, we were already going to have all this time on our hands. We're going to be traveling. I had a little bit of money stashed away to do this. And I was also meeting a bunch of digital nomads, people that were starting and scaling businesses, living in exotic places, traveling the world. And seeing that level of freedom was a whole new ballgame for me. Mm-hmm. And it opened my eyes to what was possible, being able to build something that would allow me to serve people from anywhere in the world, to not have to go back home after the trip was over, polish up my resume, and go knocking on doors for a new job. I wanted to be able to live where I wanted, serve people when I wanted to, and build something that would give us the financial and location independence that we were looking for. So that's all worked out. That was back in 2017. We've been rocking and rolling ever since. Came back after that trip and moved here to Bend, and we're pretty happy here. So
yeah, I love it. I love it. You know how sometimes you have conversations and depending on the mindset that you're in, you're like, you just want to jump ship and just go do it.
Totally.
You know, go pursue certain things. And it's interesting because before we hopped on, I said, you know what, like, you know, a corporate job is nice to have and it's a blessing in many ways, but like I'm itching to kind of go back into that entrepreneurship. And because of that freedom, I'm also very much fan of traveling, and it's it is again a privilege and a blessing and so on. If you're able to do it, I always tell people like that's like the best money you'll spend. You know what I mean?
It's just 100%.
It's such an amazing experience. And all that is to say is that I'm ready to pack my bags after this podcast and just like jump ship and go back.
My wife and I are very much experiences over things every day. Yeah. That's where the bulk of our discretionary income goes, is just traveling and seeing friends. Same. No regrets ever.
I heard you say on a podcast one day, it says life is meant for exploring. And I literally wrote it down because I was like, that is, you know, there's so much to that, especially in the world today where we're so busy and so on. And that there's so many different ways to monetize and make money and, you know, create your own life and create your own success metrics. Do you know what I mean? And in your case, it sounds like it's that adventure, that freedom to do the work that you do, but not be, you know, going to knocking on doors for a 9-to-5. So, so I very much appreciate that about you. So
yeah, there's actually an interesting story behind that. You know, it was kind of born out of the burnout that I was talking about before when we were living in the Bay. You know, we were feeling trapped, even like on weekends when we had time to go explore. It was so much harder living in the Bay Area. You'd have to drive, you know, a couple hours to go anywhere cool to get out and go hiking or mountain biking. And then you'd get there and the parking lot's already full by 8 a.m. with hundreds of people all trying to do the same thing. So we just realized that wasn't going to be for us. And we actually started a travel blog while we were traveling called Life is Meant for Exploring. And we used that to be able to open up some cool opportunities, share our experiences, and just document the adventure that we were on. We still look at it to this day. We're not active with it anymore, but honestly, it's something that we think about. Maybe we'll come back to it at some point and breathe some new life into it. But it's a great mantra. You know, there's so much that you can get caught up in, whether you're, you know, an entrepreneur running your own business or working corporate 9-to-5. Like, you get caught in that hamster wheel of just going through the motions every day. And I think having that reminder that life truly is meant for exploring. You're meant to get out and see the world and meet new people and experience new culture and just different points of view than what you have in your own backyard. For me, I put it up on my wall and I look at it every day, and it's a great reminder to just get out and do something different, whether that's at home or abroad. Just try something new.
Absolutely. Well, you've, in this last 10 minutes, you've already inspired me, and I think I'm just going to pack my bags at some point, but it's beautiful. Talk to me a little about height. What is it? What does the word come from? What is it? Like, why did you, what's the meaning behind it? What you guys are doing?
Yeah. So we are a branding and digital marketing agency. We primarily work with local service-based businesses. So, you know, your local roofing company, plumbing, HVAC. We work with a lot of attorneys, businesses that are very built around helping their communities. But more often than not, the marketing hat is not one that the owner is really good at or wants to wear. They want to focus on serving their customers and building a great culture for their team. And so we come in and serve as their outsourced marketing department. We help create a systematic, reliable way to get in front of their ideal customers and generate growth, with the ultimate goal, coming back to kind of where my passions lie, is creating more freedom for that business mm-hmm. owner, for that company to grow with stability. And for us, we always look at, okay, you have a revenue goal. Say you double your business this year. You want to get to 5 million in revenue. What's that going to enable you to do in your business? Like, what are you really trying to accomplish here? And when we start to dig in and ask these questions, oftentimes we get some really incredible answers from the owner. It's like, well, actually, I want to be able to give back more to these nonprofits that we support, or I want to add 5 new people to my team and be able to, you know, not just hire, but retain people through the ups and downs when we get into slow season. Oftentimes we have to, you know, let people go, and that hurts their family, that hurts, you know, the community at large. We just want to have more stability. Or they're like, I want to grow this thing and sell it one day so my wife and I can go sip pina coladas on the beach when we're, you know, 55 or 60 years old. So when we can understand what the motivations are behind that business owner wanting to grow, we use that as our main KPI. It's like, okay, we're going to help this person, you know, retire in the next 5 years, or we're going to help mm-hmm. them add 20 new jobs in their local community. And here's the impact that's going to have on their family. And that's something that we can all get behind and rally behind. So we try to become a partner and look for opportunities within the marketing realm, but also just ways to stand out and be more visible in the community. There's lots of great ways to give back, and we can get really creative once we understand what motivates the business owner to want to grow and support their community.
Mm-hmm. I actually really like that approach. So in my business in the past, and even now as I'm kind of growing this program that I have used so many different marketing people and, you know, teams and lead generational and all the like digital marketing. And totally. I don't think I've ever heard somebody talk about the what you're trying to like help the customer do the way you do, honestly. So I think it's a very genuine I like that. I like the way you just said it. It's just, it's a very genuine. I'm like, oh yeah, like sold, you know what I mean? Because I've totally. Had such experiences on like you know, people really don't care. They just care about like, you know, like I don't know, like hitting certain metrics, but they never get to the point of like, what is it that, they never ask the question, like, what is it that you're actually trying to accomplish here type thing. Like they never care mm-hmm. enough to have that conversation. So I appreciate that you seem to be focusing on that.
Yeah. And selfishly, I will say it also just helps us find the right people to partner with. You know, when I was just getting started, I'd say yes to everything. And, you know, I ended up working with some people that, you know, in hindsight, I really shouldn't have worked with. They were more draining than giving. So having that dialogue in the beginning and really understand what motivates people, we can start to find some common threads and say, ah, yes, these people are our people, and we can really do great work together.
Yeah, it's a relationship at the end of the day, you know, it's a relationship. So what are some of the common challenges that you've observed among some of these business owners when it comes to digital marketing and so on? Like what are like the things that are common sense to you, but are not common sense to a mm-hmm. An entrepreneur or a business owner?
Yeah. So, you know, right now, a lot of small businesses are led by the boomer generation that are starting to age out and look towards retirement. You know, digital marketing for a lot of them, there's a misconception, or in some cases, you know, they've believed in it. They've hired an agency, they've worked with somebody, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And so, they say, that doesn't work. You know, SEO, I don't need that. A great website, nah, we're word of mouth. We don't need these things mm-hmm. anymore. But the reality is, oftentimes, it's just they didn't have the right guidance. Just because it didn't work out with somebody before doesn't mean you don't need it. And it's not mm-hmm. going to work out if done well. And it just boils down to having a real conversation and showing facts at the end of the day. Well, look at your competitors. Like, we can pull real data up and show you exactly why you're starting to see decreases in sales, while your competitors who are investing in their search presence are, you know, on social media, are doing things to stand out both online and physically in their community. You know, it's very easy to tell a story where they start to see and connect the dots of like, ah, yeah, no, we've been neglecting this for too long. So a lot of it's just kind of misconceptions or the wrong perception around digital marketing and how it can fit into their business. Other times it's, you know, just kind of a scarcity mindset around, well, you know, we've done so well up to this point without investing in marketing. Like, this seems expensive. Why is this going to have an impact? And I get mm-hmm. that. You know, we all need to know what the ROI is on the back end. So again, kind of what we do differently than some other marketing agencies is we need to have good data, and we're going to put systems in place so that it's all very transparent about, hey, if we're investing in Google advertising or an SEO strategy or Facebook ads, we're going to be able to see for every dollar that you spend what you're getting on the back end in terms of ROI. And let's be real, like sometimes things don't work out as planned. We might have an initial hypothesis around what strategy is going to work the best. And after 3 months, we're going to have data to be able to say yes or no. Did that work? Where should we reallocate marketing investment to get the biggest bang for your buck on the back end? And having that conversation throughout the process, in the beginning, every single month, talking about what's going on, and then having regular quarterly check-ins where we look at all the numbers and say, okay, here's what happened, and here's what that equated to in terms of your bottom line on the back end. And when they can see that and understand what's real, then they can get behind having that bigger investment and putting more into the growth of their business.
Yeah, one of the things I've learned is that it's definitely a long-term game, you know, and it requires a lot of consistency, a lot of experimentation. And I think that, you know, understanding that and going into, because I do see a lot of people think it's like a magic, like, oh, okay, in 1 month, if I just do this, or 2 months, or 3 months, like, no, like the first 3 months, you're just trying to like...
It's the build-up period.
It's just the build-up period. Yeah. So it's like, you don't really know. So it's a long-term game. But I think once you get that right, then that's where the kind of the success comes, right? So, and it's consistency, totally. I would say, like consistency and just, yeah.
Yeah. Just patience. And I get it. Some people, you know, if times are hard and you are seeking out marketing when things have gotten bad, that's the worst time to be investing in your marketing or hiring a marketing agency, because you're in a place of pain. Like things are getting a little dire. If you don't have this work, well, we're not going to be able to keep our doors open, or we're going to have to let some people go. And that's a hard position to be in when, as you said, sometimes we can get quick wins and things work, but other times, you know, there is a buildup period and it's going to take time. So, you know, we can help people in those situations, but then it becomes very important to have very clear expectations and have this conversation around what is realistic and what isn't. Because if you're looking for a silver bullet that's going to double your business after just a month of marketing, like that's just not going to happen. And if somebody's promising you that kind of results, they're probably not being the most ethical.
I'm curious, in your experience, obviously there's a lot of talk about AI and so on, and I know in the podcasting game, oh my god, the amazing tools that are available, such a productivity hacks, like I'm like, I want to scream and be like, why are people using this, you know, like like there's certain tools that like
cast magic. Changer. I'd be curious what tools you've been using, because I've been exploring things with my podcast and it's been a huge time saver.
Amazing things. But how have you seen it in the digital marketing world? How have you seen like the game change, basically? Like what are some maybe not so obvious things to a person like me who doesn't, you know much about marketing except whatever marketing I do. But, you know, how has it helped? And I don't know, how do you utilize it in your business?
Yeah. So we've been integrating AI into most, if not all, of our workflows at this point. And there's so much that's about to just rapidly change, where even what we're doing now is not going to be a good use of the tools in 6-12 months from now. But right now, I mean, everything from just initial concept strategy, developing good copy, good, you know, for advertising, good headlines, doing A/B testing, using a ChatGPT model, building a custom GPT for each of our clients, where we give everything that the AI needs to know about their brand, who their customers are, how they speak, what's their voice and tone, the history of the business, past marketing experiences, uploading real data. And like, once we can train it, we can use this to not just create content and, you know, messaging, but like give us some good actionable strategies around maybe potential audiences that we haven't thought about yet, you know, new products or services that might be good to introduce to the business owner and start to brainstorm around. There's just so much power behind it. So, I mean, it touches everything from SEO strategy to developing good ad copy to finding the right keywords that we want to target with an SEO or a PPC campaign. But this is just the beginning. There's going to be tools coming out in the next, you know, 6-12 months where you could train an AI agent using a tool to just watch how you do any workflow and then replicate that perfectly on the back end. This is where I'm spending a lot of time listening to podcasts. And there was one this morning that I listened to. It was just talking about how anything that can be replicated by AI, we're going to have the ability to have it just watch you working through a browser, seeing how you, for example, build out a campaign. What are the inputs and outputs that you're looking for? And then again, if you can train it on a specific brand, it'll just be able to do a lot of this stuff. So that's exciting and also terrifying for, mm-hmm. An agency owner. You have to realize that this stuff is going to make a lot of what we do obsolete in the long run, potentially. But certainly if you're not leveraging these tools, you're going to fall off the wayside very quickly because your competitors are on top of it. So that's what we're trying to do. Just learn and find the best use cases to be able to do things faster, more effectively, and provide more value for our customers at a lower cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I appreciate that candid response. And you know, what's interesting is that I do see that some of it could, kind of be a threat to some businesses, but also I see that the increase of wanting that human-to-human interaction is still there, that consultancy work and even like educating your clients around how to use that and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think it's just changing into how your agency is going to operate, like in many other businesses. And I think just being open to it and the fact that you're learning it now and utilizing it is probably preparing you for the future better than somebody who's like, no, there's still old school way of doing things, that's just, definitely. You become irrelevant very quickly. So I think that's spot on. For the podcasting, I use Cast Magic. Okay. If you haven't used it,
no,
it will blow your mind. Blow your mind. Cast
Magic. What does it do for you?
What doesn't it do for you? So I'm serious. It's a repurposing tool. So all you do is you upload a video recording or piece of content, and it will, based on the prompts you give it, and you can give it any prompt, say, take this piece of 30 minute video, make an article, a blog, keywords, YouTube description, whatever. And it's just a repurposing tool. It does a lot. It helps you come up with topics. It's like ChatGPT. Content repurposing, video clips, all in one. And there's a lot of tools out there, but I think this one's so all encompassing. Mm-hmm. I just been loving it. But anyway, so Cast Magic is a really, really good tool if you haven't tried it yet. I'm a huge fan. I use a couple of other ones, but we can talk more about that offline as well. I'm happy to share.
I'm definitely gonna check out Cast Magic because it's not one I've used yet, but I love that to be able to take one piece of content and turn it into many. That's what we need to be doing right now if we want to really maximize our personal brand and branding for a podcast or anything that you're doing.
You know what also I've noticed, and I'm curious your thoughts on this as you work with business owners. So before it seemed like the way you promote your business is around the business itself, right? Like, word of mouth and so on. But I see more and more this personal branding aspect to it, right? And I'm curious for you as an entrepreneur and also other businesses that you work with, I see that a lot of people naturally would want to buy from a brand that they trust, they know, they like, right? And a lot of that has to do with the individual behind the brand. So sometimes, I feel like we shifted from like a brand as the company name to then now personal brands. The individual behind the brand tends to have a more higher role, so to say, in this interaction. What are your thoughts?
No, I love this question. I think, especially for like bigger companies, bigger brands, there's maybe a little bit less of that, but even so, like you think about, like Tesla and Elon Musk, whether you like him or not, his brand directly affects the bottom line of his companies. And that can be said for so many other companies out there. Even, looking at OpenAI and Sam Altman, like these people aren't just hiding behind the curtain of their brand. They're very vocal and they're out there and they're sharing all the things that they're doing. And that, might turn some people away, but it brings in and makes the people who are their ideal customers, their ideal audience, even more excited to work with them, even bigger brand advocates who will go out and share and talk about everything that they're doing. So at the highest level, I think it's super important. But even down on the micro level, like we work with local businesses, and the ones that are the most successful, are very active in their community. And it's not the, like the person that owns the remodeling company or the plumbing company or whatever it is unknown, anonymous. People want to work with the people that they know, like, and trust. So if that business owner is out there, you know, supporting nonprofits, volunteering, you know, coaching Little League, whatever the case may be, they're going to be bringing in more customers just through the goodwill that they're creating and the impact that they're having in their community. And if they can do that in person through the things that I described, but also bringing that online and building up their personal brand through social media and other means, that just amplifies everything. Mm-hmm. It's going to make you even more visible and more known. And, you know, if you're bringing and tying in your business in the right way into that, where it's not like you're trying to profit from the good that you're doing, but you're, you know, meshing them in the right way, that's going to have a huge impact on your success. So we like to coach our clients on finding little ways to do that, or just taking things that they're already doing and making that a part of the business and your communication strategy, and how can you make it known the good things that you're doing, but also your team, your employees. Are you doing volunteer days? Are you getting out there in the community as a team and helping people? How can we talk about these stories and make sure that people know about them? Because that's what people want. They want to work with people that are doing good in their community and making an impact.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think genuinity goes a long way here in general, you know, like actually wanting to do those things. And
it has to be authentic to you, right?
Yeah,
you
can't just, for sure.
You know, go do something for the profit side of it if it's not in line with what you care about and it's not genuine to who you are and what you do.
Yeah, which a lot of people still do, but I don't think it's as effective as it maybe once was, you know? If somebody wants to go into entrepreneurship and kind of, you know, let go of the 9-to-5, any tips, any thoughts? Because you've gone through this, right? You've gone through, I'm sure there was a lot of fear and overcoming that fear. I'm sure there was a lot of decision making that went, you know, you said you guys really thought about it. So what are some, maybe just from your own experience, you can share some insights.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot easier to build a business, a product, a service around something that either you're already good at, you already have expertise in, or something that you're just really passionate about. Like you wouldn't even need to be getting paid. You would love doing it. And this, you know, there's nothing novel there. People say that all the time. But I feel like people get caught in chasing the shiny objects, whether that's, you know, some new AI product that you could build, or, you know, when I got into starting my agency, I knew I wanted to do it because I already had the skills in it, but it was also a very trendy thing to do. Like there were lots of gurus online selling courses on how to go about building a social media marketing agency or just a marketing agency in general. And, you know, those people that jumped into that but didn't have any desire to help people or didn't have any skills, maybe they went through the course, never completed it, never did anything with it. So you got to find an intersection of what you love to do and what you're good at, first and foremost. Second thing I would say is find somebody who either you know personally or is in your community or is doing something that you want to do, and build a connection there where you can start to learn from them and get feedback on ideas. It's so much easier to start something when you have a feedback loop. You have somebody that you can ask for help. You can bounce ideas off of. Maybe that's like a formal mentorship kind of relationship. Maybe it's just you taking somebody out to lunch, you know, every couple months and sharing what you're doing, getting their ideas, picking their brain. And the reality is, like, if you ask somebody for help in that type of way, they want to give. If they've been successful, they've done that and they've gotten to that level of success from helping people. And when somebody comes to you and genuinely just wants to learn and you know, be guided through your experiences, most people are going to say yes. So find your tribe, find a group of people that you can learn and grow with, but find some coaching or mentorship as well. For me, that was the biggest thing that held me back early on, was I just had this ego of, oh, I'll figure it out on my own. I can do this. And sure, I was, but it was taking me 10 times longer to get to where I wanted to go versus if I had just learned to ask for help, hired a coach, found a good mentor, found a community where I could share ideas and learn from their failures and experiences, I would have been so much better off, so much faster. I got there eventually. I learned that, oh, okay, this is the shortcut. You just need to learn to ask for help and find the right people to support you. So those would be my tips.
Yeah, no, those are brilliant. Being somebody who spends a lot of time in nature, being riding bikes and just spending time in the mountains and all those activities, how has that helped you in the work that you do? Because it's stressful. It's a roller coaster, right? Being an entrepreneur and just, you know, managing team. How has that helped you in your leadership role in your business?
Yeah, so I mean, I like to think about just kind of the energy I could bring to the table, like a fuel gauge. You're either getting close to empty, or you've got a full tank, or you're somewhere in between. But no matter where you're at, you know, the stress is what depletes you. When you're taking back-to-back meetings and you don't have a break at all throughout the day, when you've got 500 emails staring at you in your inbox, when you're running around with your head cut off just because you have so much on your plate, there's, you know, going to be times like that. And that's the reality. But the only way that you can get out of that and avoid burnout, because if you just keep going down that path, it's not a matter of if, it's when you're going to just fall off the rails and burn out. But for me, what I've found is, like, whatever stressors I have, the amount of replenishment that I give myself has to outweigh that. So, you know, for me, that is getting outside, like, you know, on a Monday or a Friday. Right now, we're getting a lot of snow up on the mountain. So I build into my calendar, hey, I'm going to go ski in the afternoon on these days. And that's going to help fill my tank back up so that I can tackle the rest of the day or the rest of the week at my highest level, or, you know, end my week that way. So I could just jumpstart the weekend and then come back on Monday fully recharged. So whatever that looks like for you, it's just realizing that you have to build in these types of activities, whatever they look like for you, that are replenishing, that are energy giving instead of energy draining. And if you're super stressed at work, that means you need to be even more diligent about giving yourself that time to recharge in whatever way it looks like.
Wise words, TJ, wise words. I love it. Talk to me about, where can people find you? Where do you spend most of your time? If somebody wants to get in touch or just follow, I know you have a podcast as well. Talk to me about that. Where can people find that?
Yeah, so super, super active on all the socials for the most part, primarily LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Is it
under your name or height?
I am TJ Murphy is my handle. If you go to tjmurphy.me, that has links to all my social media, the podcast, Height Digital, kind of my own personal link tree. So that's the best way to find everything. But the podcast has been a passion project for the last year. I started it out just to kind of scratch my own itch, if you will, like learn from adventurous entrepreneurs who were out there doing great things, building communities, serving their communities, having success in their companies. So I could start to take some of those lessons and apply them to myself while also just learning how to be a better communicator. So I didn't do it to grow a huge following or, you know, get a million downloads. I did it just to kind of selfishly learn and grow. And if I could help one person along the way who listened to that and took something away, even better. And of course, it has grown through the process. You know, if you keep showing up and putting in the work and doing things that bring you value, it's going to be valuable to other people. So Adventurous Entrepreneurs is the podcast. We look at the stories of entrepreneurs through kind of the hero's journey. You know, everybody starts out somewhere, and you've got people that have guided you along the way. You're Gandalf, if you will. You've got wrong turns, lessons learned. So we try to tease out some of the insights from their experiences and very tactical ways that you can apply that in your own business, whether you're already, you know, well on your way or just thinking about getting something started. There's a little bit of gold in there for everybody.
Beautiful. Last question I ask all of my guests is, what is one question you wish people would ask themselves more often?
Ooh, this is a good question. I think, you know, right now what comes to mind is, how can I be just a little bit kinder today? What can I do to just be a little more kind to the people that I come across? You know, I think we're about to, here in the US, move into a very polarizing time with the political scene that we're stepping into. And, you know, that, as we know, has just become so polarizing. So just look to do little things. Hold the door open for somebody, smile at somebody who looks like they're having a bad day. You know, somebody drops something, pick it up for them. Just find little ways to be kind. It really makes such a huge impact.
Yeah. I love it. TJ, you have inspired me, shared some really interesting thoughts. So I appreciate you being here. Thank you for your time. I'll make sure to share all the notes, all the ways people can get in touch with you in the show notes. And I look forward to following your journey.
No, it's truly a pleasure coming to chat with you today. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'm excited to follow your journey and all the awesome stuff that you've got going on as well. So thank you.